Chris Gibson, I can't tell you how thankful we are, grateful we are that you keep coming back, keep coming into the studio and talking to us. It's really great. Let's start with the Fast Track and the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I recently spoke to Chuck Schumer. Of course, he's about to be the number one Democrat in the Senate. And he's opposed, and I know you share that value with him.
I think he's in the right place on this issue. It's a mistake, this Fast Track for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and I oppose it.
You just explained to everybody what it is?
Sure. And so there are two different things here. There's the proposed trade agreement among 12 nations. It's about 40% of our trade to date. This is the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And then there is an authority that was created in 1974. It's called Trade Promotional Authority. And it's sometimes called Fast Track. And really what that is Congress voluntarily restrains themselves from altering or amending any proposed trade agreement. So I think the instructive things here are that this dates to 1974, because some of the critics of my position and Senator Schumer's position will say, well, you know, you can't really do a trade agreement without Fast Track. Well, that's not true. This has really been a creature that came about in the 1970s, and we had trade agreements long before the 1970s. And then the other important thing here is that in a broader sense, my work since I've been in the Congress has really been to try to empower the people, to alter the executive legislative branch relationship to bring balance back to it. And this dates in some regards back to my time teaching at the United States Military Academy at West Point, when my cadets, we had them read the primary sources on this and then debate as to whether or not we're better now having consolidated so much power in the executive branches. We've seen presidents from both political parties take us off to war without the consent of the governed. I brought forward a bill, the War Powers Reform Act, that would change that situation, ensure our people get a voice in the solemn decision for the use of force. Likewise, I oppose consolidating power in the executive branch to make these agreements, these trade agreements. I'm their voice, and I don't think it's right. It's my duty to listen, to hear where they are on this issue, and then communicate that in committee, on the floor, and to vote accordingly. And as it relates to trade agreements, I'm a details person. I want to know, you know, how is this going to impact job creation in our district? How is it going to contribute to or detract from manufacturing in our district? And what is the impact going to be on wages? Because here's my assessment. Since 1974, many of these trade agreements have not worked out well for us. NAFTA, for example, hurt us in New York. We have vacant brownstones. You'll find them throughout, particularly in upstate New York, but not just in upstate New York, in the New York City and Long Island areas as well. And so, you know, with given the fact that 40% of our trade is encompassed in this, and the fact that there appears to be a back door that China could get in, and, you know, we've got major issues with intellectual property. We have major issues with currency manipulation. I don't see safeguards in any of the drafts that I've seen. I think we should be involved in the details. So therefore, I oppose the Fast Track, and I want to see this transparent. That's been a major criticism that I have of this entire process, is that some call it secretive. We can call it whatever you want, but we don't have access to the entire draft document. And I don't think that that's helpful. It's certainly not helpful for members of Congress, and it's not helpful for the American people. The American people should also be able to go online and to read this proposed treaty. The best way that we can ensure that that happens is to slow this down, is to reject Fast Track and insist that the American people get a voice in this important process.
So what is it about your colleagues? I mean, look, there are Democrats like President Obama who's for it, obviously. This strengthens his executive power, but also a lot of Republicans. What is it about the Republicans that make them so anxious to have this?
Well, you know, you can point to theories. You know, there are theories that cover this macroeconomic activity. And, you know, I've read these theories as well. So, you know, I'm not denying that you can go to some indicators, for example, the gross domestic product, the GDP, which is one indicator of the healthiness of the economy. You can see some positive or I should say some upward movement in GDP. But to me, that's only one indicator. I want to see the overall healthiness to the economy. I want to see where we are in terms of our self-reliance. So regardless of what may or may not happen in terms of movement of GDP, you know, where are we in terms of our manufacturing, other facets that are important for self-reliance, and what is the impact going to be on wages? Because if I see something that helps the GDP, that helps us expand manufacturing and see elevated wages, well, that would be something good to support. But that's not been the weight, in my view, that's not been the weight of evidence as it relates to, for example, NAFTA. So I am very circumspect on this, and most certainly, and like anything else in life, I'm willing to listen and learn, but it's not helpful when there's not a transparency when it comes to this conversation and a truncating of the political process. So, you know, as to what my colleagues may or may not be thinking, you know, those are specific questions to ask them. But I think I've just, you know, sort of responded to your question by saying that, you know, from one level of analysis of GDP, one might get, I would say, the wrong impression that this trade activity is a good one for the country.
Well, Chris,
I say we got to go deeper.
Well, Chris, somebody's making out like a bandit here. Who is that?
Well, you know, if you look at, for example, NAFTA, if you're a shareholder in one of these companies that has seen expanded activity, even if that activity moved offshore into another country, well, you may have benefited from this. So, you know, like most other things, there'll be winners and losers in any kind of major economic contestation. But I think it's my responsibility as an elected leader to take a deeper dive into what the ramifications would be of any proposed changes.
No, you made that clear. But I want to know, Chris, who you think benefits. There are particular companies?
Well, Fortune 50 companies, for example.
Yes.
Generally, it's not surprising to see their advocacy for Fast Track. And what Fast Track really is let's get on with this, and they're saying— and let's agree to this Trans-Pacific Partnership. And there is an element of our economy that thinks that they stand to gain from this. That's why they're advocating for it. And I'm saying that as a representative of 750,000 people in upstate New York, not so fast. Let's analyze this. How is this going to impact us in terms of job creation, self-reliance, i.e. manufacturing, and wages? Because if we see stagnant or declining wages and loss of manufacturing activity, this is not a good deal for us, regardless of what you may see for shareholders.
And we would see that, Chris, we only have a minute, but we would see that because somebody abroad may be paying their workers less, so it would be easier to get stuff cheaper for some of the people who run these companies. Right?
Well, that's part of what's going on here. There's also from a manufacturing perspective, they look at what their overhead would be. Part of that is impacted by wages. I would also argue that we have the best trained, motivated, dedicated workforce in the world, and that when you look at our declining energy costs, this is still the best place to manufacture, especially in relation to some of our competitors like China, who are seeing significant labor issues. They're seeing serious environmental issues, and that's causing some plants to close down a couple hours a day over there. And, you know, you're seeing million-person cities in China with no one in them because of the command-directed nature of their economy. So, you know, I think that companies are increasingly giving us a second look. So that's why I don't want to see us make a mistake on a major trading agreement when we seem to have, well, I think we're poised to actually in the next decade to see more manufacturing move back here to the United States. That's the trend I want to see continue.
Chris Gibson, always great to have you here. Republican Chris Gibson is now from the New York 19th Congressional District and a good friend, and I have to say, a guy who everybody's talking about. They all want him to run for governor.